بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إن أمتي يدعون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين من آثار الوضوء، فمن استطاع منكم أن يطيل غرته فليفعل. متفق عليه. Yesterday we discussed further the ayat of the Quran which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brought in the introduction on this chapter on the virtue of wudu. Just one aspect. If you look at this verse, literally Allah Ta'ala commands us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Literal translation, O you who believe, O people of Iman, when you decide to perform Salah, when you are about to engage in Salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَإِذِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, then wash your faces up to, and your hands up to the elbow, up to and including the elbow, إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. If you look at this, apparently it will appear whether you require wuzu or you don't require wuzu. Allah is saying, when you decide to make salah, make wudu. So the question now arises, is it obligatory to make wudu before every salah? What about if you are in a state of wudu already? Can the one wudu carry on for the next salah, etc.? Obviously, most of us know the masla, that yes, you can, you make this next salah with the same wudu. Is it virtuous to repeat a wudu even though you are in a state of wudu, etc.? First point is that many of the mufassirin were of the opinion that in the initial stages in Islam, this was a requirement. That whether you had wudu or not, for every salah to make wudu. And this would be the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which goes to emphasize the point which we made yesterday, that Islam very, very strongly advocates purity, to be clean. Today some of us have this idea or mindset, if a person looks very disheveled, his clothes are completely wrinkled, and he has a haggard appearance, then mashallah, this is somehow an indication that he's a very, very pious person. If you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's seerah, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would particularly notice the beautiful fragrance that was emanating. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apply ether very regularly. He loved the sweet fragrance. So it is important for us to understand that purity, being clean, etc., this is something very, very closely associated with the seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam requires you to be meticulous so far as ensuring that you are clean and presentable all the time. In the Quran also, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. If you look at this word, zina means make yourself beautiful, make yourself such that you are attractive. So, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ. خُذُوا is amr. It's imperative. Allah is commanding you. Adopt zinat. عِنْدَ كُلِّ masjid, at the time of every salah. So, don't appear for salah in a disheveled manner. Come for salah where you observe the decorum of salah, where you have prepared yourself for that salah, to the point where ulama say, if a person, some ulama say that if a person comes in a disheveled manner, anyhow to make salah, that is in fact makruh. Coming back to this point, are you required to make wudu for every salah? In the initial stages, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform wudu before every salah. However, there is a hadith in Muslim Sharif that anna nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yatawadda'u likulli salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make a fresh wuzu for every salah. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْفَتْحِ, on the day of Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Now if you have to contextualize this from a analogical point of view, when did the conquest of Makkah take place? 8th year of Hijrah. So this was 3 years before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So most of his life, kana an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam yatawadda li kulli salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make wudu for every salah. 3 years prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the conquest of Makkah, like I said, chronologically, this would be the 8th year of Hijrah. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْفَتْحِ صَلَّى الصَّلَوَاتَ الْخَمْسِ بِوُضُوءٍ وَاحِدٍ. On that day particularly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made 5 salah with 1 wudu. Sahaba were very, very observant of every of the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is why immediately Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala no observed this difference. So he said, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَعَلْتَ شَيْئًا لَمْ تَفْعَلْهُ. Ya Rasulullah, today we saw something we never saw you do before. In other words, contextualize this. 8th year of Hijri was the first time Sahaba saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam making more than 1 salah with the same wudu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَمَدًا فَعَلْتُهُ Ya Umar. Umar, I'm aware of what you're talking about and I did it intentionally. I did it intentionally, made more than 1 salah with 1 wudu. In other words, to create levity and ease for the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. Otherwise, we would have been required for every salah, whether you had wudu or didn't have wudu, to make a fresh wudu. However, from this we learn that with the niyat or intention of sunnah, if we want to repeat wudu even though we have wudu for the next salah, there is no problem. In fact, this is something that is encouraged, to make a fresh wudu. However, if you are already in a state of wudu, even though the zahir or the apparent of the ayat seems to indicate that for every salah you have to make wudu, if you are already in the state of wudu, we can see from the allowance created for us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you can make the next salah with the same wudu. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Inna ummati yud'auna yawm al-qiyamah. Verily my ummat will be called forward. Called forward, highlighted, will be especially noticeable. Will be distinguished. All these translations we can make of this expression. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that on the day of judgment, when there will be millions, billions, almost trillions of human beings, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be specially recognized. There will be something about them that is different, that will make it known to others just looking at them, that this is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as compared to other ummahs. What is it about them that will stand out on the day of judgment? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ghurram muhajjalin min atharil wudu." Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of the examples that he would give would be such that the first audience, that is sahaba that were listening to him, they could easily relate to these examples. So here he gave examples of horses, camels. This was something, was a day-to-day part of the lives of Sahaba at that time. It was the means of transportation, like how we recognize a Toyota or a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW, like that. Sahaba, they could easily relate to horses. Now in horses, we find there are two expressions that are used. One is the word ghur, which the plural of which, or the singular of it, is gharra. What it actually means is whiteness of the face. Some horses sometimes have easily distinguishable white patches or signs on their faces, on the head of the horse. This in Arabic is called ghur. Then you get another word which is called tahjil. Tahjil refers to whiteness that is found sometimes on a flank or the legs of a horse. Generally, this denotes a very high pedigree of that particular animal. And it means that that horse is more valuable than other horses. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now if you look at it, one is the limbs of the horse, that is the hands and the feet. The other is the head of the horse. Ghur refers to the head, tahjil to the limbs, in other words the hands and the feet. In wudu, these are the limbs that we wash. In wudu you're washing your face, in wudu you're washing your hands and your feet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one of the special effects of wudu, if it is done properly, is that this causes nur and light on these particular limbs. How much nur, how much light, how much barakat, how much blessing Allah has kept, and we should keep this in mind when washing in wudu. We are told, make wudu properly. Keep this in mind when you're washing your face. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that that washing of your face is going to create a nur by which you will be recognized on the day of judgment from the rest of humanity. Your face will shine on the day of judgment because of the fact that you washed it in wudu in this dunya. Likewise, your hands and your feet will shine on that day. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example, he compared it to the whiteness that is found on the face or the limbs of a horse, by which even in that time, that horse among Sahaba also would be regarded as more valuable. This was an indication of its very high pedigree and its value. So coming back to the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily my ummah will be distinguished on the day of judgment because of the whiteness of their face and the whiteness of their limbs, min atharil wudu, because of the special effect of the sign or indication of their wudu. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala goes on to say that famanistata'a minkum, if any one of you has the ability to increase the extent of the whiteness, let him do so. Now the question arises, what is the literal meaning of this hadith? Literally, if you look at it, in wudu you wash up to your elbows. And the hadith is saying, if you have the ability to increase the extent of the whiteness, then do so. Does it mean now that in wudu you must start washing right up to your armpits and this will cause more whiteness on the day of judgment? No. What ulama say this actually means is that be conscious of what you're doing. Wash your hands with this in mind. Wash your face with this in mind. That Ya Allah, increase through the barakah of the wudu that I am making, increase the nur on my face and my hands. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by Sahaba in other ahadith, that Ya Rasulullah, your ummah that is to come after you on the day of judgment, Musa alayhi salam's ummah will be there, Nuh alayhi salam's ummah will be there, Ibrahim alayhi salam's ummah will be there. We want your intercession, we want your special audience on that day. Ya Rasulullah, how will you recognize us? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will recognize my ummah from the whiteness of their face and their hands as a result of the wudu which they make. I will know that this is my ummah, this is from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes in another riwayat, ummati yawm al-qiyamah ghurram min as-sujood muhajjalun min al-wudu. This riwayat is in Tirmizi Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my ummah on the day of judgment, their faces will have a special whiteness because of two things. He said, because of sajda and muhajjalun min al-wudu, and their limbs will be white because of their wudu. So ulama say that nurul wajhi lahu sababan. On the day of judgment, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly their faces, will be shining with nur because of two things. One is the wudu that they made, and the other is the nur of sajda. In salah, when you put your head on the ground in sajda, you are humbling yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in sajda particularly, we learn from the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, وفي بصري نورا وفي لساني نورا وعن يميني نورا وعن شمالي نورا وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا. Particularly in sajda, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would make this dua that Ya Allah, give my face noor, give my eyes noor, give my tongue noor, give my heart noor. Let there be noor in front of me. Where? On the day of judgment, on the darkness of the day of judgment, special noor and light. One from sajda, the other is when we make wudu. That is why, let us understand, wudu is not just a washing ritual. It's an ibadat. It's a form of worship. And it has a very, very deep impact. One, by cleansing us of sins, and its impact will last right up till the day of judgment. So we should be conscious when we are making wudu. Allah gives tawfiq.